You want to talk about a humble brag. Wait till you hear this. So I have been looking for a new home. My house is under contract. It's selling. Mm-hmm. And I found a house. But I still get all the listings that the realtors send to me when new homes come on the market, right?
Yeah. You'll probably get those in your email for a couple of years.
And for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
until
exactly.
I unsubscribe.
Exactly.
And I'm not, because like the thing about real estate is like you're always nosy and you want to see what things are going on the market and all that. And I love looking at houses. I was a realtor for many years before I was in radio.
Yeah.
So this house comes on the market and I'm looking through the pictures and it's like this cool contemporary looking house. And then I get to picture 22 and I'm looking at picture 22 and I go, you gotta be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
It is a humble brag if I've ever heard of a humble brag. It's like if you had no interest in this house before, when you see picture 22, you immediately think to yourself, wait a minute, who lives in this house? Are you ready for it, Producer John?
Okay, all right. I'm curious now.
Because I'm a psycho. Wait till I tell you what I did after I saw this.
Okay, yeah.
Here's my phone. Do you notice anything interesting about this picture?
Oh, stop it.
Come on, humble brag.
Stop it. That's 1, 2, 3, 7. Seven. Are those Emmys? Those are Emmys.
Those are Emmys.
Seven of them.
In their office, casually, right in the middle, there is a picture of 7 Emmys on a shelf.
Does it have at the bottom an asterisk, Emmys not included with the home?
Oh,
does it have that?
I would be like, how much just for the Emmy, you know? So, of course, like a psychopath, what do? I look up the address. I'm like, I got to find out who these belong to.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That person knows you're going to do that.
If you're going to post a picture on the MLS, the multiple listing service of your home, and picture 22 is casually your desk in a corner, but centered on 7 Emmys, like, you know, people are going to be like, who lives in this house?
Yes.
Right? I can't figure out who lives in the house.
Honestly, it's probably somebody boring. Let's be real. Like, it's probably like a really great audio tech.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a guy who's like a dynamite costume designer who's done all the big shows. But you don't know who this person with this person's name.
Now, this may come as a shock to you, Producer John.
Yes.
But I don't have an Emmy or an Oscar or actually any really big real awards on a national level.
Oh, well, you know what? You're always a winner to me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I do have one time Raven bought me a statue of a microphone and he wrote number one cool DJ on it. And I have that trophy. I also have
it's meant as mockery, but you kept it.
Oh,
you kept it in display.
I like awards. I like awards. Who doesn't like an award?
Do you remember the award you gave me and Sean?
What award did I give you guys?
You gave us the Congratulations for Adulting Award.
Oh.
You did.
You're
welcome. It was very nice.
The one award that I have for real that I proudly put in my family room is like I won a community service award last year from our company.
Yes.
So that one I proudly display.
And you very proudly earned it too. It was good work.
But I was thinking about it. It's like if you have an award, where do you put it in your home? Like, do you put it on your mantle? Like, for me, it's on a shelf in my family room. But how about you, John?
It depends on the award, right? Like, if it's something that's, a certificate, a piece of paper or something like that, obviously you got to frame that. But if it's something like an Emmy or this golden microphone that Raven gave you that you have no shame in displaying, you've got to find a place of prominence in your home. It should be ideally directly in someone's line of sight when they walk in your front door.
So you would think that it's appropriate to have it be picture 22 on your MLS listing for the sale of your home.
At least this person had the tact to put it in their office. I mean, my gosh, I honestly, if I had 7 Emmys, I would probably put it on the front shelf in the mudroom in my home.
At first, I was like, wait a minute, is this makeup for men? But it's so much more. John Wormser is the founder of Good Weird, a new genderless makeup brand. John, I've been stalking all your Instagram and your TikTok, and it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense what you're doing. I'm thinking it's a fantastic idea, and it makes so much sense. And I started thinking about it as I was looking at all the reels and the TikToks, and it's like, no, it's true. Like, when my husband has a pimple or he has a breakout or his skin is just uneven, he doesn't do anything. There's nothing really he can do. He's not comfortable going into the makeup aisles. There really isn't anything that's targeted for him. So to come up with a genderless makeup that's just made to make your skin look even, cover up blemishes, it just makes perfect sense. And I'm not sure why no one's done it before.
Yeah, that was the big aha moment for me. 2.5 years ago, I went to the beauty store. I had a bad breakout, was looking for a beauty solution. And I looked around and I saw countless products. and brands, but didn't feel like there were many made with me in mind. I then went to the drugstore to kind of like gut check my hypothesis to see if the issue still remained. And when I got there, the buy into beauty was like you needed a brush and a primer, and I didn't know my shade, and there were all these steps. It felt overwhelming for someone that didn't know the beauty space. And also the buy-in was kind of a lot of products. And for me, even the products that were there wasn't going to solve my immediate solution. And I wasn't looking for a complete transformation. So I called my best friend from college, who was the friend that knew the most about beauty and skincare. And we built this idea around functional beauty. And that's how Good Weird came to be. And basically what functional beauty means is basically taking traditional pigment loads and bringing it down significantly, and then infusing skincare elements to create a truly hybridized beauty meets skincare approach for any gender and any person.
And what I think is really interesting is the no tools part, because as somebody that I wear makeup every single day, I'm not good at it. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody ever taught me how to do it, but I don't have the best brushes. I buy whatever is on clearance at Marshall's and TJ Maxx. And most of the time, I'm just using my fingers. So the fact that what you're creating is made for people like me, that you don't need all these extra tools to make your face look even, to cover the blemishes, it's kind of a big deal.
That's the exact intention. Like, I don't have a makeup brush. I don't have a primer. There was all these steps that just felt overwhelming. So whether it's your first time using a product or you have a bunch of makeup products, but you don't feel like putting in all the work, like, Good Weird is the solution where you can use everything super blendable, everything super sheer, everything you can use on its own. You can use all of our products together to create a routine. You can use all of our stuff intermittently with the stuff that you're using. I think it's built for so many different types of uses and so many stages of knowledge within the beauty space.
So where do you get it?
For now, the best place to go is our website, goodweird.com. But what you'll see in the next 3 months to a year will probably be populating in retailers and other situations. But I would just continue following our Instagram to stay up on the latest information.
And I'm looking at the price point. It's kind of really reasonable, to be honest. Usually when something new and exciting kind of comes out, it comes at a high price tag. But all these look like to be in the $20 range.
Yeah, we tried to keep everything under $25. We have high quality ingredients, but we tried to make it accessible. And the intention is just, we really want to disrupt the beauty industry and the fact that you can use one, two, or three of our products at a reasonable price, and that can replace your existing beauty routine where you're probably using more products. One of our big taglines that we always say is like, Good Weird helps put your best face forward. And I think it just really holds true to our intention.
John Wormser from Good Weird. You can check him out online at goodweird.com. Or if you want to see these videos, because I got sucked in by the TikToks and the reels to see how it's used, you can follow them at Good Weird. Anchovies has been voted as America's most hated food. Now, what do you think about that? Chef Plum from the Food Network, host of Restaurant Road Trip. You can find him online at chefplum.com. Plum, coming from an Italian family, we always had anchovies. There was always on the table. Now, did I eat them? No, because they look disgusting. I mean, I could see the long, skinny jar in my house all the time. But what's the deal? Why are they so loved everywhere else around the world but hated here?
Anchovies are delicious. And it's one of those foods that have been around for so long that can add so much flavor to things. I mean, did you eat anchovies at all?
No. My dad makes my dad is also a chef.
Right.
So my dad makes a stuffed onion bread with the anchovies.
Sounds great.
And people love it. I don't. It's just something about like the texture of it and the smell of it that just makes me feel grossed out, even though I know that this is a delicious food.
It's just such a polarized food, I think. I think it's also considered like the granddad food. You know, like I remember my grandfather would have the little tin of anchovies, half a cup of buttermilk, and some saltine crackers. And he's like, this is the lunch of the gods.
Like,
sounds terrible.
All right.
I'll just stick with my bologna sandwich here. This is awful. But anchovies are great. And staple ingredients in a lot of things. Did you know Caesar dressing has anchovies in it?
Yes, I know.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yep.
That's where a lot of the saltiness and the umami comes from. Umami is that flavor in your mouth that makes your mouth feel full. It's delicious, has a lot of flavor, naturally salty, and, you know, like I said, can add a lot of background umami to anything.
All right, so if you were going to prepare sardines, in a way, anchovies, how are you going to make them?
We're going to make a bruschetta out of it.
A bruschetta?
Bruschetta.
Bruschetta.
I can say it the American way, bruschetta.
Okay.
We're going to make a bruschetta out of it. So I'm going to take those little beautiful pieces of bread. I'm going to toast them off with a little garlic and olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take those anchovies. I'm going to put them on top, like fold, kind of curlicue them up on top of each one. And then I'm going to top it with a little bit of parsley and green onions. And maybe if I want to get really fancy, I'll put some pickled shallots on there. What a delicious appetizer.
Okay, speaking of things that are on a menu that I would never order, I don't know if I ever told you this, but
Uh-oh.
On this list of the most hated American foods
right.
is tripe, right? And my father insisted at our wedding that we had to have a tripe table. The
oh
tripe. We got to have the tripe for all the people coming from Italy. So we had a table that like our wedding hall had to make that was just filled with tripe.
What else was on it?
In the actual thing? I don't know because I didn't go near that table, Plum. I made my dad take care of it. But can you explain what tripe is and like
do
how to prepare
really
it?
Do you really want me to do that?
Yes.
So I think of tripe as... It's almost like a call fat. It's something you wrap things in. Is that what we're talking about here? The same thing?
Like this, the lining of the stomach
yeah.
or whatever?
Yeah, but he
like makes it in sauce and like serves it like that.
So there's a lot of flavors in there. So it's the inner lining of a stomach. And it's used to, you can make sausage
of a cow's stomach, not
yes.
a human stomach.
Correct. You can make sausage out of it. You can make, you could take other, what they call a force meat. So you might, I know, that's the technical term though. Where you make almost like a sausage, a ground sausage type, and wrap it in that and then poach it or grill it or smoke it. It's delicious and it's a great way to, it holds a lot of flavor and it's a great way to keep things together. Does that make sense?
Yes. Or you can just serve it in giant tins of sauce.
You can.
Yes, there's that too.
You can. They chop it up usually then, I think.
Okay. And one more, sweetbreads. Also top three of the list.
Why do you
do this to me? I know. But these are America's most hated foods, but all around the world, people love it. Can you explain what a sweetbread is and
yeah.
the right way to make it?
So first, don't try to make it at home. unless you know what you're doing.
Sweetbreads
is the thymus gland, right? Which is a massive purplish looking gland in the animal. You have to clean it. If you don't, it gets really gross. But cleaning it means taking off all these outside layers where it's like this beautiful looking organ that you can then sear off with salt and pepper and slice it thin. It is so delicious, but it's a lot of work to do. In our country, these things are polarizing. You think of sardines, like you said. You think of tripe. You think of the thymus gland, the sweetbreads, right? But they're actually really delicious. And anywhere else in the world, it's not weird.
All right, Chef Plum, you can find him online at chefplum.com.
I'm going to make you thymus gland right now.
I don't want thymus gland.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? It's like group therapy time. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Jerry.
If you're an adult and you still name inanimate objects like your car, that's all I need to know about you.
Do people still name their cars? Do you name your guitars, Producer John? Because I feel like that's a musician thing, right?
I don't name the guitars like actual names, but I have one that's like all covered in stickers, and I refer to it as stickers.
Okay.
So kind of, yeah. I mean, it's not named Lucille like B.B. King or something like that, but, you know, yeah.
Jerry, why are you so mad at people that are naming inanimate objects?
I have a neighbor, and you know, they just got a new car, and he's like, look at Carla. Isn't Carla great? Carla's just, you know, sitting there in the sun. Congratulations,
Cara?
You got a Mercedes.
Yeah,
know?
All right.
I mean, what do you want?
Jessica, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're constantly posting about being on vacations on social media, that's all I need to know about you.
I'm jealous of those people right now. I haven't had a vacation in so long, and now that Raven's on vacation. I just look at those pictures and I see like that blue crystal water. I'm like, wow, that looks nice. It looks like they're having a lovely time.
You know what's going to happen too when he comes back? First thing he's going to do is going to be like, oh yeah, you got to check it out. Let me show you this. Let me show you this picture right here. Let me show you that picture right there.
I feel like with all the spring breaks that happened over the last few weeks, you've been seeing a lot of those pictures everywhere. You know, who went for Puerto Rico? Who went to Mexico? Who went here? Who went there? I'm like, I went to my house.
Right.
That's about it.
I think I got a staycation planned in a couple of weeks. It's going
to
be great.
I think that sounds like jealousy more than anything, but I get it. Robert, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, if you throw outrageous parties that go until super late during the week, that's really all I need to know about you. Other people who live by you need to go to work early.
I'm going to guess you have to go to work early and you're upset about it.
I got some early meetings.
Who do you live next to, man? You live next to, like, the rugby house at the local university or something like that? It can get crazy. Listen, you're the one who bought real estate near the college.
I don't want to sound like an old man. I'm not that old. It's just, like, these kids, they got, like, I guess I am feeling pretty old.
Yeah, yeah, I see. I told you.
That's tough. I'm about to go into a rental for a few months, and it's, like, back to apartment living, and it's the first time since I was in college like this. So when I was visiting, you know, getting ready to move in, and we went to go see the unit, we have young people that live in the complex. And part of me was excited about it, and part of me is like, yeah, but I go to bed at 8:30, so I'm not sure how that's going to fly. Piper, that's all I need to know about you.
If you prefer boiled hot dogs over grilled hot dogs, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, that's true. Where do pan-fried hot dogs fit in your spectrum? Where are they?
I guess they're somewhere in the mid. They're probably closer to grilled than boiled for sure. I mean, just why are we putting water?
No, I can agree with this. The only exception to that is with my three-year-old, Anna. So, like, if I'm going to make James a hot dog, then I'm going to throw it in the microwave for a little bit. But, if I'm eating it, it's going over some type of open flame or I do not want it.
I boil the ones for Dakota, but she doesn't eat it anyway. I just do it for show. So, here's a confession. I take Flintstone gummy vitamins, but do you really need to take vitamins as an adult at all? All right, well, let's go to the expert.
Healthwise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Jenna, everybody says you're supposed to take multivitamins. Is that true? And is it okay that I take Flintstone vitamins like a child?
Oh, I love that you take Flintstone vitamins. I remember looking forward to Flintstone vitamins as a kid, like every morning. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, there are all those gummy vitamins are so really yummy. It's almost like a snack. My youngest daughter loves multivitamins. But Anna, you're going to be surprised about this. If there's mixed information about whether there's any real benefit to multivitamins to begin with. Listen to this. So about 50% of us in the United States that are adults, for that matter, are taking vitamins, and the price tag exceeds almost $12 billion a year. So it's a multi-billion dollar industry that's making so much money off the fact that people think they need to supplement their diets with vitamins. And if you ask some of the experts, they think it's a complete waste of time. So this is a really, really good analysis of tons of research involving hundreds of thousands of people found that taking a multivitamin did not reduce the risk for heart disease or cancer over the long term. In addition to the fact that it did not reduce the risk of mental health declines, memory loss, or slow down thinking or cognitive decline, which sort of contradicts what are the benefits that many people in the multivitamin industry are trying to sell you.
Right.
Which is basically a false bag of goods, I guess.
Yeah, no, seriously. I feel like everything that's wrong in my life, somebody always says, like, well, you're not taking the right vitamins. And to hear that makes me wonder, like, well, why are we wasting all our money on these vitamins? And is there any way that they would be harmful versus helpful?
So that's a great question. Actually, if you take too much of a certain vitamin, it can actually be really harmful. And a funny story is, in medical school, when I was worried that I was going to get sick, because you're exposed to so many people that are sick during your training in med school, my mom told me to load up on vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And so when I bought a vitamin C supplement, I didn't even check how much percent of vitamin C is in each vitamin. So I was taking 833% the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, twice a day without really drinking enough water. And I ended up getting a kidney stone.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and you can get a kidney stone for too much vitamin C, and nobody tells you that. In addition, like, too much vitamin E, too much beta carotene actually can be really harmful, especially in high doses. So here's basically the take home message here. There are certain types of vitamins and minerals that can be beneficial, right? So one of them that we know is very beneficial is folic acid for women in childbearing years. Folic acid prevents neural tube defects in babies, and it's important that women take it before and during early pregnancy. So that's proven.
Yep.
In addition, a lot of women, and men for that matter, are at risk for something called osteoporosis, which most people have heard of, brittle bone disease. You can take calcium and vitamin D, and it needs to be recommended by a doctor, but you can take the extra vitamin D over the recommended daily allowance. But for most of us, if you exceed the recommended daily allowance of these vitamins and minerals, it can have health consequences, and you really want to be careful with that. So most doctors are going to tell you if you have a well-balanced diet, you actually don't need a multivitamin. But if you're going to take a multivitamin or any specific supplement, you absolutely want to make sure it's recommended by your doctor. And I learned the hard way, because a kidney stone, and I'm telling you right now, is worse than childbirth. It was horrendous.
Can I eat my Flintstone vitamins just because they're yummy and that's fine?
Yes. Yes. Yes, you can. One Flintstone vitamin a day is definitely going to be okay, especially for an adult, because they're formulated mostly for kids and you're not getting above the recommended daily allowance on anything with those.
All right, good. Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Thanks, Jenna. Ready for it? Here we go. Get ready to dance. It's a party time. Woo! Flashdance is celebrating its 40th anniversary. 40th anniversary.
Something else, man. It's, a cultural moment in the 80s.
Yeah, except I've never seen that movie. Yep. Never once.
Yep, neither have I.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to my friends about this. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven is on vacation. And they were like, you've never seen Flashdance? I'm like, no. You know, and they were like, but, you know, there's a moral story. I'm like, what? What's the moral story? You know? And they couldn't actually answer me. And they were like, well, everyone should see it by the age of 15. I'm like, the age of 15, you have to see Flashdance? So I started thinking about it. And I'm like, no, there's other movies that have a real moral story that everybody should see by the age of 15. So my daughter, Hayden, is 14 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this movie pop up on Netflix. You can see it on Netflix right now. And I was like, no, wait a minute. If there's a movie that you need to see and sit down, I sat her down this week and I was like, watch this. This used to be my playground. A League of Their Own. Oh, my gosh. Madonna, Tom Hanks, Gina Davis. I mean, that movie is a movie that everybody should see. Famous line?
There's no crying in baseball!
A classic, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. And the moral of the story of that movie is that your sister is everything. They are the original. Dottie and Kit are the original Elsa and Anna. It's really, when you think about it.
Yeah, actually, you know what? That's a good point. That's true. That's true. That's true.
All right, producer John, you're next. What is the movie that everybody should see by the age of 15 and the moral behind it?
Everybody needs to appreciate the dry humor of Caddyshack.
Find your center. Picture the shot, Danny. Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny.
Be the ball, Anna. Be the ball. And here's the thing is that I feel like in this day and age, a lot of especially younger kids would not appreciate that movie the way that it deserves to be appreciated. Sean, you love that movie.
Oh, yeah. So thrilled. I'm not a big fan of it.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Why?
I don't like golf. So I find that movie to be rather boring.
It's not about golf at all. Literally, if you watch that movie and what you get out of it is this is a golf movie, then you watched it
That
wrong.
Clip sounds like it was a golf movie.
Here's the thing. Is Caddyshack is about a group of caddies that
live in a shack. Love Shack, baby.
You know what? It's about a group of teenage kids who just basically work at this golf course. And the moral of the story is rich, uptight, old people are jerks.
I moved on.
That's it?
That's the moral of the story. Literally nothing happens in this story. There is no, like, conclusion. There's, like, a little golf contest right towards the end of the movie that kind of sneaks in there. And other than that, no point to it. And that's a beautiful thing.
Sean, what is the movie you think everybody should see by the age of 15 and the moral behind it?
Oh, it's clearly Jaws.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Jaws was one of those movies, first of all, it was like probably one of the first horror movies I've seen when I was younger, and I was really obsessed with it. I loved sharks because of it, and the whole moral of it is you got to take responsibility, conquer your fears, and do something if you want to make a change. Chief Brody was afraid of water, wanted the shark to go away, so finally he's like, I'm getting on that boat, and I'm doing something about the shark.
Okay.
And he did.
That was actually a fantastic explanation.
That really was. You should have written that down and published that. That was very well done.
1-800-330-9999. What is the one movie that everybody should see by the age of 15, and what's the moral behind it? Flashdance is turning 40 years old this year, and one of my friends said, I can't believe you've never seen the movie. It has a moral lesson. It's one of those movies that everybody should see by the age of 15. And I was surprised by that. I was like, it has a moral story? What is it?
That's what I'm saying. People love this movie. I didn't think it was like important childhood life lessons, though. I feel like you get that from books better.
1-800-330-9999. What is the movie that everybody should see by the age of 15 and the moral story behind it? Actually, Scott, you disagree with us. What do you think is the life lesson of Flashdance?
How to eat lobster properly. The moral I ever take away from that movie.
That's the moral of the movie. Like, I feel like when you're looking for a life lesson, you don't think about how to eat lobster. That's not the first thing that comes to my mind.
No, but it is useful and it is delicious.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate it. Mackenzie, every 15-year-old should see this movie. What movie is it?
I was just talking about this with my husband the other day. He's never seen Wizard of Oz. I thought that's crazy. I think everyone should see. That's a classic. Probably one of the best movies of all time.
Not only should everybody see The Wizard of Oz, Anna, everybody should see The Wizard of Oz, and they should listen to Dark Side of the Moon at the exact same time you turn down The Wizard of Oz volume, and then after the third lion roar at the MGM sign at the very beginning, then you hit play on Dark Side of the Moon. Yes, miss, I agree with you. That movie is a classic. That experience altogether Also a classic.
I do agree. Everybody should see that movie at some point in their life. But what's the moral of the story? Follow the yellow brick road? I guess, right? Keep going where you're going? Ken, what do you think? A movie that everybody should see by the age of 15.
All right, I know we've probably already seen it, though, but just hear me out. Lion King.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
It has to be. There's so many gems in that movie, but the one that like stands out is the first movie you've probably seen where you learn that even your family can host betrayal.
Ooh.
I mean, I love The Lion King, and I was on board with you until you said that was the moral of The Lion King.
Well, I mean, it's a moral of The Lion King. May not be the moral.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, sir, for whatever happened to you in your life that was your response to that. But, you know, you're not wrong.
Fair enough. Deb, what do you think? A movie that everybody should see by the age of 15 and the life lesson behind it.
To Kill a Mockingbird. And I think the lesson behind it is you have to be decent, honest. It's very difficult to be a parent in this world and teach morals, but you need to do that. And it takes a strong person to do that. And you need to be a good neighbor.
Okay, but Deb, first question. Do you read the book first or watch the movie?
Either or.
Fair enough. Thanks, Deb. You missed it. Flashdance is celebrating its 40th anniversary. So we are looking for the top movies that you think every person by the age of 15 in the universe should have watched at some point, and what's the life meaning behind it. Lisa Lampanelli, former queen of mean, failed life coach, one of my very good friends. Lisa, the one thing I have to say is you have seen every movie ever.
Ever. And yeah. I just want to say, what a feeling. Mm. Ah, see, that's me. I'm doing Flashdance. I'm having waterfall on me. I'm hot.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but I've never seen Flashdance.
What?
I've never seen a lot of the 80s movies. And I mean, you know that I was raised by immigrant Italian parents.
Sure.
So they didn't know to make me see these movies.
Oh,
so
okay.
I never saw this stuff. And then by the time that I got old enough to watch it, they were old movies.
Right.
And nobody cared anymore. And they weren't part of the culture at that point.
Oh, my God. Okay. Have you ever seen 16 Candles?
No.
Okay. You have to see it. I love any movie where the girl is kind of like the misfit and not the conventionally pretty, but actually very attractive girl, and then gets the good looking, handsome guy and the popular guy. So you got to watch that one. There's just so many 80s movies like Ferris Bueller, Back to the Future. Have you seen all those?
So Ferris Bueller I've seen, and right. Back to the Future I've seen.
Right.
But
okay.
Not a lot of like the quote unquote chick flicks.
Oh,
I guess.
So you didn't see Pretty in Pink?
Nope.
Okay, we need to have a movie night at my house. Mm-hmm. Since you're one of my A-level friends, you're invited.
Thank you. So what are your three big movies? The three movies that every person by the age of 15 should have seen.
Okay, definitely they should have all seen The Wizard of Oz, because they have to have it drummed into their lousy rotten skulls that there's no place like home. And if you don't believe that, there will be a house that falls on you. It instills fear and goodwill at the same time. I also enjoy Forrest Gump because they mention a lot of chocolate in it. Because life is like a box of chocolates. Mm-hmm. I say instill a love of chocolate and sweets to them. And I'm going to add, if you don't know by 15 that they should see The Godfather, you gotta watch The Godfather with your toddlers and your children. You learn fear and you learn to keep your enemies close. That's how I feel. I saw it when I was a mere lass, if you will. And obviously, my life has turned out pretty damn good.
Lisa, I watched The Godfather for the first time last year.
Okay, you need to go back to school.
Okay, I know. But I was raised by Italians, so there was never...
Yeah, how didn't you watch that then?
No, never. Like, there was never played in my house, was never spoken of, any of that stuff.
Oh.
So I remember watching it and being like, why is this so dark? It's like the darkest movie. Like, it's so... dark.
Yeah, because, I watched a documentary on the making of that movie, mm-hmm. and Italians were mad at that movie because it was so, like...
stereotypical. Yeah,
but true. I'm Italian, too, so I know. You think my mother didn't threaten me with a horse's head in my bed? She did.
Lisa Lampanelli. You can follow her on Instagram, at Lisa Lampanelli. Raven is on vacation this week, so producer John is singing the news. Give it to me, John.
1, 2, 3, 4... This is only funny because nobody died, but a big space rocket blew up in the sky. Elon Musk is trying to get us all to Mars, but he hasn't had a whole lot of luck so far. you hear about this?
Most powerful rocket ever.
Mm-hmm.
Exploded 4 minutes after takeoff.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying it's good. They're saying, like, it was unmanned. You know, it was all robots and machines and whatever.
This is how much people want to, like, suck up to the most rich man in the entire world. I read an entire article about how successful failure is an important part of SpaceX's strategy. It was planned. They wanted to fail.
Well, I kind of believe it because they said that, you know, so them versus NASA, right?
Yeah.
NASA takes a lot of time to figure out things that could go wrong and retest and all that. Whereas Elon Musk's plan for SpaceX is, let's just see what happens.
Just throwing stuff at the wall.
And that's how we're going to learn. I don't know which way is better. I don't know.
Find out.
It's not considered a failure that that thing exploded 24 miles in the air. That's how long it took for 4 minutes. That's pretty impressive.
Like I said, it's only funny because nobody died.
Correct.
BuzzFeed is shutting down the news division to get out of some financial trouble that they're in. 15% of their workforce is out of the biz to make room for another personality quiz. I mean, honestly, why was BuzzFeed doing news in the first place anyway? Though it's true.
It was the pandemic and everybody was doing it and they were making money and it was working. But I read this thing that 15% is being laid off from their news division for BuzzFeed.
Yes.
So how that what that means. And they said it in the email. They said, if you got this email, you're safe. And all I kept thinking about is imagine if you're in the cubicle next to the guy that got the email and you look over and you go, did you get the email? And he goes, what? And then you're like, uh-oh.
Oh, you're a big jerk if you do that.
Yeah. So, you know, sad for all those people being laid off today.
They hired a bunch of very talented people that they've now had to get rid of. It's really too bad.
I hope they all find jobs.
Well, this is something near and dear to my heart, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists have got something new to say about why you may be going prematurely gray. Stuck stem cells, say that five times fast. and what was it? Oh, yeah. But even if you're gray, you should never be ashamed. Even if you mess up your lyrics, you should never be ashamed either. But here's the point, is that scientists have a new reason why people may be going prematurely gray. And I know that if you listen to this show, you can't see me. But I am a very gray-haired man.
When does your hair start going gray?
When I was 14 years old. Really 13, actually.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It really is. So the scientists found out that it's called stuck cells. The cells get stuck. So, you know, as you get old, when these cells get stuck, that's when your hair turns gray. The good news is now that they have identified that this is the thing, they think that there might be ways to reverse it and to end it. So even if you're completely gray, like imagine, John, that you're completely gray now and you're mid-30s, right?
Yeah.
And imagine that they could do something and your hair will go back to its natural color.
Gosh, Anna, I mean, I got to tell you, it sounds like an incredible way to sell out. You know what? No. If you are one of my brethren out there, sister, brother, whatever, if you are a gray-haired person like I am, own it. Lean into it.
Okay,
I mean, I guess I can only speak for men because a lot of women in my life have told me that, like, you know, it's different for us than it is for women. And I get that and I respect that. But hey, at least if you're a guy, still own it, man.
A lot of women are leaning into the gray hair and all the power to them. But I don't have very many gray hairs yet. But every time I see one, I panic. And I just think about the amount of money that people can save not having to color their grays going into the future. So we'll see where this leads.
Look at this hairline, Anna. You tell me you don't want this?
You got gray hair. It's just gray. It's good. All right.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Mama's Margarita Friday. Now, of course, it doesn't matter if you're a mom or your dad or if your kids have four legs and they're furry or they're small and human. It's not easy to be in charge of anybody or anything. So this is your chance just to go ahead and vent and say why you're so excited that the weekend is here. 1-800-330-9999. Maria, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, it wasn't so much me. I had my car stolen.
No.
My sister, I should say. I had mine stolen a couple months ago. What happened?
No. It's the worst. Apparently, there's this thing all over TikTok that it's easy to steal a Kia, and I have I had a Kia.
Where was it parked? What happened?
Just on the street in front of my friend's house. We went to a parade, and it was parked on the street because I didn't want to drive, and got back, and it wasn't parked on the street anymore.
So oh, my gosh.
What did the police say?
Apparently, it's just really common right now for that type of vehicle to be hot-wired.
Let me tell you something that's going to give you just a little bit of hope. This happened to my Honda a couple of months ago, and I ended up getting it back. It was just a couple days later, and the police found it. They pulled the car over, and I got it back. So I'm not saying that's going to happen for you. It's probably not going to happen for you, but don't give up hope yet.
But Maria, plot twist. Guess who was driving producer John's stolen car?
I mean, we're going to just tell this whole story now.
And you're never going to guess. It was an elder. Yeah. It was an elderly woman. An elderly woman said that her grandson gave her the car.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That makes it a little harder to be mad at him.
I mean, it makes it hard to be mad at her. I'm still mad at the grandkid. That grandkid can get all of my rage.
I like the idea that she's lying and she actually hotwired and stole producer John's car at a nice solid 86 years old.
She's about that life.
You enjoy your margarita. You deserve it, Maria.
Thank you.
Lisa, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
So I went back to work for the first time since I had my baby, and she went to daycare for the first time. So I am really ready for my mommy margarita.
It's a big one. I know. I'm sorry. I know. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. It's great and it's good and it means that everybody's getting their life back to normal, but it is hard. It is so hard.
That first drive, I remember that first drive so vividly, and he was so tiny, and it was too early, and oh my gosh, all of those thoughts. But listen, I was wrong. You're going to be all right.
But it's okay to be sad. So you enjoy your margarita, and you can have two, maybe three, whatever you got to do. Yeah. Lydia, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
Well, I didn't do anything, but I'll tell you, my daughter's pet bird died this week. And my son got caught cheating on a test at school.
Oh.
And just last week, my husband didn't get his bonus at work. So I need a beverage.
Oh, girl, you had a week. You had a week. When it rains, it pours.
Are you going to try to replace the bird? Like, be real slick about it?
Out of all those things, that's what you asked?
I'm just saying it's top of mind.
No, I'm not going to get another bird. She'll cry more.
That's fair. Also, they're loud and they smell. Birds really smell.
Yeah, I used to have parakeets when I was little. Sonny and Cher. That were their names.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, you sound like a really cool kid.
Yep, they died. My mom did not replace them. I found them, and they were just hanging upside down. Like, I don't understand how they both died at the same time. I always thought something suspect happened because, like, my mom hated them so much because they made a mess, but never fessed up to anything. All right, well, you enjoy your margarita. You have definitely deserved it.
Thank you, guys.
Anna and Raven's Hell of a Story.
If you missed it yesterday, Metallica announced that they're going to make their new album with ASL, American Sign Language. They're the first band ever to do it. Then we got an email from Anthony Galino, and he has a hell of a story. Anthony, what happened?
My daughter was 11 years old. It was March 13, 1993. We had a mega snowstorm. She was over a friend's house in the backyard sleigh riding, and she hit a tree. And they called us and they said, look, your daughter was injured. You know, she was actually bleeding out of her ear.
Oh my God.
So we knew that was serious. I'm a member of the fire department at the time. The fire department transported her to the local hospital. What happened is she fractured something on the side by the ear. It turns out that mechanically it damaged that ear and she was deaf in one ear. She stood in the hospital a couple of weeks, actually. They tried different things, and nothing was working right. So she left the hospital deaf in one ear.
Wow.
And we said, all right, look, she, you know, could have been a lot worse. She could have died, whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll deal with this. 3 months to the day later, she contracted meningitis because of a fracture that might have been in there somewhere so minuscule that might have given your child a stomach virus. It attacked her brain. Ran high fevers and lost the hearing in the other ear.
Oh my gosh! As a parent, it must be so terrifying to have to go through this.
We have five children and 13 grandchildren. My wife and I.
Wow.
And so she was talking to my wife, and all of a sudden she said, "I can't hear, Dad." So we go to the emergency room, and they try a million different things. And at one point, they just throw their hands up and say, "Look, we're not sure." And the doctors were wonderful. They had nothing bad to say. So we said, all right, well, listen, we appreciate all you did, but we're going to go to Manhattan now and see if we can, you know, is there somebody better? And it turns out she wound up having two cochlear implants. Neither of them worked for her. So here she is. She's 11 years old. She's non-hearing in a regular school. School wasn't ready to deal with that. They never had a child like that. Mm-hmm. So my wife really did a lot of battling with the school in the beginning, and they got her an aide and this, that, and the other thing. And we had speech for her because they said that by 18, she would have no speech.
Okay. How was she dealing with everything along the way? Like, that's got to be hard for a child.
Emotionally, you know, she had her moments and, you know, where she was down, but she still cheerleaded as a high school senior, being totally deaf. You know, she persevered, and she went to college. She got a master's degree in deaf studies. She met her husband there, who was from Nebraska, also hearing impaired. And she went on to teach somewhat here, and then they moved to Nebraska. She has four hearing children, and she teaches ASL for an online company. She's actually, they made her a principal now. She writes the curriculum.
That's incredible.
So, It really is. You know, at one point when the second incident happened, they thought she was going to die. I mean, we had to bring a priest in and everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many things along the way that happened. If you saw her around my wife and I, we went to a restaurant and sat down, and I have to tell the waitress sometimes, she's deaf. She, you know, she's not being rude. Because if she's not looking at you, we can have conversation. Her and I have conversation. People can't believe it.
Because she can read your lips.
If you saw her, yeah, she's really good with it.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, her children sign somewhat, but for the most part, she reads their lips. But they're, you know, she taught them that when they were born as babies. It's just an amazing story.
Anthony shared a video of his daughter signing at a University of Nebraska football game. We're going to put that on our Facebook page right now at Anna and Raven. And if you have a hell of a story, too, head to annaandraven.com.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and it's up for you to decide who's right. Alan and Aaron. Aaron, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Okay, so Alan has this friend, and he just drives me crazy. He's really obnoxious, but he just recently moved back to the area, and he is always coming over now, and he flirts with me, and it's like bordering on the inappropriate, and I don't like it at all. And I really wish Alan would say something to him. In fact, I really wish Alan just wouldn't be his friend anymore.
Alan, what's going on?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. I've known this guy since I was 5 years old. Like, he's my best friend, and you know, we've been in constant communication with each other even when he was away. Now that he's back, yes, he's over more. I don't really think he's flirting with her. I think it's more just his personality. That's just, he's just kind of that open. He's like a slapstick comic most of the time. So I don't think he would flirt with my wife, you know? I don't think he's actively pursuing my wife. I just don't see that.
I will say there's some guys that's just their personality. I'm not saying it's all right. I'm just saying it's what they're like, but I can understand where Aaron is coming from. If it feels like it's not an attack, but it feels inappropriate to her, then why wouldn't you speak up to defend her?
It feels like every guy has a friend like this. I mean, I've known guys like this my entire life, and sometimes they're a lot of fun. They're really funny. Also, other times they cross the line, and you got to check them on that. Does that mean you shouldn't be friends with him anymore? No, not necessarily. You know, should you be a little bit more aware of when he's around and how often he's around your wife in particular? Yeah, possibly.
But you don't want to say something to him, Alan? You don't feel comfortable enough to do that?
It's not that I don't feel comfortable enough to do that. It's just that what I am seeing is not what she is seeing. And I don't know exactly how to address this, because this is literally how he's been since we were like 10. You know, I mean, he was always the smiles. He was always the direct eye contact kind of guy. Like, I mean, he's just that way.
I know what you're saying, Alan. Honestly, talking to a guy like this is usually not going to change a whole heck of a lot. I'm kind of on your side with this one, man. You got to just let it go and just, you know, arrange accordingly when it comes to when you hang out with him.
Well, right. But Aaron, it has to be upsetting to you that you don't want him to hang out with him, period. And now that he's back, he's around even more, and it just makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's awful. I hate it when he comes over, and it's frustrating to me that Alan just wants me, like, is putting his feelings, his friend's feelings, ahead of mine.
It's a good point. Why don't we see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Aaron. Alan, talk to your friend. Tell him to back off your wife and maybe cut down how much you hang out with him. But they may see your side, too, where this is the way he is, and it's not meant to be harmful or hurtful. It's just his personality, and don't take it so personally. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's a couple's court. Does everybody have one of these friends? Like every guy? I wonder. So Alan and Aaron are having a disagreement because one of Alan's oldest friends just moved back to the area. And he's the guy. The guy that's like always flirtatious and saying the things that are inappropriate. And Aaron is like, okay, that's enough, Alan. You can't be friends with this guy, and you need to tell him to stop flirting with me. It's weird.
He says that, you know, it's his buddy. It's been his buddy since they were young kids. It's just the way that he is. And, you know, do I want to actually have a confrontation with him about it? No, maybe we'll just kind of ignore him a little bit.
What do you think? You just ignore it and still be friends with him? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side because I think that he will resent her forever if he changes his childhood friendship. And then they're going to have trouble. I think that will end up not well for them. So I think he should just manage his friend and maybe say, hey, you know, could you maybe take it easy and then just soft pedal it with his friend and then limit the time his wife and his friend spend together.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples court. Aaron's had enough. One of Alan's good old friends, it's her husband's old friend, moved back to the area. And she remembers why she can't stand the guy. He's constantly flirting with her. Inappropriate comments here and there. Just the loudmouth, male chauvinistic guy. And she says, that is it. You need to tell him, one, never to speak to me ever again because what he says is inappropriate. And two, I don't want you to be friends with him anymore.
Alan says, hold on a second. This is who this guy is. This is who he's been the entire time. Now, if it's making you feel uncomfortable, great. I'll just kind of stop talking to him. I'll go hang out with him on my own. He doesn't have to come over to the house anymore. But you want me to have an entire confrontation with the guy? Feels like a lot.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Joseph.
Oh, I'm on the wife's side. You know, just for the fact that she feels uncomfortable should be good enough. You know, this creep is coming over his house and flirting with his wife. And, you know, he knows him since he's 5 years old. That doesn't make a difference. The relationship should end right there. And he should side with his wife and throw that guy out of his house.
Vanessa, how about you? Whose side are you on?
I think I'm on the wife's side because if Ellen's friend is doing this behind his back and flirting with her and she's uncomfortable with it, then they're both really disrespecting her because he's not saying anything to his friend and his friend is just undermining their marriage.
I wonder if he's really trying to be hurtful, though, or that's just one of his weirdo personality traits.
Right, that's the thing. And also, I mean, Aaron feels weirded out by this, and that's completely legitimate, but it really is just a one person versus another person situation. Alan's not seeing that behavior that she's talking about.
Whose side are you on? Hi, Anna and Raven.
Oh, my God. I am definitely on her side. I don't know why she doesn't say something to him.
That's a really good point, too. Sometimes you just got to stick up for yourself.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Aaron, our audience agreed with you. Alan, basically, everybody said you got to dump this guy. You got to tell him that how he's behaving towards your wife is inappropriate, and you have to find a way to distance yourself from him.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy to hear that. And, like, I'm just thank everyone for calling in because it's the reasonable, rational thing to do.
Alan, you going to dump your friend?
I have to tell you, this is going to be one of the hardest things in my life if I go through with this. I mean, what do you say to somebody that you've known your whole life? You know, how do you ignore them?
At the end of the day, though, you got to live with your wife every single day of your life, man. And this is somebody who, let's be honest, you've lived without in your life. Even though you talk on social media, he's been gone for a long time, and he's going to be gone for a lot longer now.
So don't text him back for a long time. You know, that kind of thing, or you just really kind of slowly distance yourself from him. That would be my suggestion.
It's a gentle ghosting. It's a Casper, if you will.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Here it comes. It's the Craigslist Price is Right.
Raven is on vacation this week, so when Can't Beat Raven comes back on Tuesday at this time, the jackpot will be $2,100. In the meantime, we're playing Craigslist Price is Right for $100 Target gift cards. Dan, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
All right, here's how it works. I have an item right now that's for sale on Craigslist. I'll read that description to producer John. He's going to guess the price. All you have to do is guess whether or not the actual retail price is higher, lower, or if he hit it on the head. Ready to do it?
I am. I listen every day, so we're good.
All right, Dan, let's do it.
Rooting for you.
Okay, John.
Yep.
You've done terrible the last few days. Let's see if you can redeem yourself. All right, we have something that I did not know existed. An antique, vintage, and novelty sword cane walking stick collection.
Stop. Is this the kind of thing where, like, all right, so it's the walking stick, and then you pull it out, and it's secretly a sword?
Yes.
Yes!
Oh.
Collection of 7 canes or walking sticks with swords inside.
There's 7 of them now.
7.
Oh, stop.
Okay.
Some antique, others vintage or novelty. One price takes them all. All right. I'm obviously not going to tell you the price. So I didn't even know that they made canes that were actually swords. Is this so you could pretend to be a little old man in battle and you're unsuspecting and then you just whip out your sword?
Not a little old man. You are a classy gentleman. You are walking down the street. You have a nice overcoat. Does it come with an overcoat?
No.
That's okay. I'll buy an overcoat. You're walking down the street with your overcoat, but then some knave, I say, disrespects your honor and you whip out your sword.
Okay, so the heads of these novelty slash vintage slash antique sword canes. One is a dragon head with red eyes.
Oh, stop it.
One has a horse head. The other look like regular handles.
I mean, this just gets cooler and cooler the more you talk about it.
I mean, the fact that you call this cool is incredibly alarming.
Dan, tell me that you think this is cool, too.
I think it'd be cooler if it was a decanter cane, but...
fair enough.
I like the swords.
Cool. All right. These 7 canes, here's a picture of Producer John so you can see them.
Yeah.
Some of them, they're not in great shape, to be honest. It also says, do not contact me with unsolicited services or offers. What do you think the actual retail price is, Producer John?
I would pay a lot of money for this, but I'm going to guess $250 if they're not in the best of shape. 7 of them, $250.
Dan, do you think the actual retail price is higher than $250, lower than $250, or is that the actual retail price?
I think it's going to be higher.
You would be 100% correct for these 7 cane swords, $600. I don't even know what you do with these things. You can't get through the airport security with them, that's for sure.
You defend your honor, Anna.
All right. Congratulations, Dan. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info, okay?
Thank you.
And we'll have another shot for you to play and win coming up on Monday.